Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. As a physician, I have seen the impact of a constant background sense of danger on the body, from surgical patients requiring removal of gallbladders, cancers, or digestive blockages, to AIDS, autoimmunity, and addictions. This has been the evidence of the body being wired for danger. But where did that come from? How did that start? And what can we do about it? This has been on my heart, and I wanted to record an episode on this to share an important but often neglected aspect of therapy, trauma work, and personal development. When I received this question from Laura on LinkedIn, I knew it was time for this episode. She asked, "Dr. Amy, I don't think I've ever truly felt safe. I honestly can't remember the last time I had no anxiety about the future. Why does my body always feel like it's waiting for the next bad thing to happen?" I'll be answering your question at the end of this episode, Laura, because the truth is, it is the question that I wished many of my patients had had the self-awareness to ask, and I know that many listening here can relate. In this episode, you will learn why your body may be wired for danger, the three key elements that create overwhelm and get stored in the body, how early childhood experiences and even generational patterns contribute to this wiring, the critical line of overwhelm, and why and how we still cross it every day. How to recognize your own survival versus safety patterns, and how to begin rewiring the nervous system for true safety down to the cellular level. Whether you are someone who's been searching for answers or you're a practitioner helping others, this episode will help you understand the biology behind feeling unsafe, and most importantly, what you can do about it. Let's dive in. What I'm going to share with you today helps you understand why the body might be wired for danger, why your body might be wired for danger, why the body of those that you help, if you're a practitioner, might be wired for danger, and exactly how to begin rewiring it for safety. Let's think about that for a moment. When was the last time that you truly felt safe? So safe that you had no anxiety, no fear, no insecurity for the future. And if you were to be able to create inner safety, if you were able to do that, what would be different for you? If you woke up every day having the confidence that you were going to be able to live your life purpose that day, if when you sat down to eat, you didn't have to worry about, is this food going to cause me harm, pain, bloating, fatigue? If when your family came over, you had that confidence that I can be with them and I can feel safe in all situations. It's hard for some of us to imagine that. And realizing that if that were possible, we would be our more authentic self. And so when we look at what do we do in order to survive? What do I do? What's my default when I feel insecure, when I feel anxious? Let's start there. I want you to think about that for a moment. What is your default response? Is it to lash out? Is it to quiet the anxiety? Is it to get overwhelmed and shut down? How would we know that our body is wired for danger? It's based on how we respond to insecurity, anxiety, and fear. And we look at our default. As we start to look at why would my body be wired for danger, we want to look at this idea that we don't always need to remember or know or think that we've had trauma. I said the big word. I said the word trauma. We don't need to know. We don't need to remember. We don't need to even think that we have had trauma. This was my story. When I look back at my childhood, I did not see trauma. Especially when I could look at my son's childhood and be like, my goodness, now he had trauma. And who am I to say that I had trauma compared to his story? And we can compare and we can downplay the experiences that our body went through. Now, your body's early wiring for danger could have been created by a number of ways. And it really starts with the idea that we experienced overwhelm, something that overwhelmed us. Overwhelm. Now, that's a good word to replace for trauma. So we experienced overwhelm. And as we look at overwhelm, we see that it wasn't just overwhelm. There would have been other aspects involved that created such a degree of fear that it got stuck in our body. I look at these three aspects. Overwhelmed, I felt powerless, and I was in disbelief. I couldn't believe what was happening. It was a shock to my system. This was not supposed to happen. So these three things come together in a single experience, and your body feels overwhelmed, powerless, meaning there's nothing that I can do that will make this change or go away. And there's the disbelief. I can't believe this. This is not how life was supposed to go. This was not supposed to happen in my life. This is not the way that life goes. And we experience that, and it's so deep to our core that it feels like we might die. But what happens is that we don't return to a sense of safety. We hold on to that element of, well, the danger still feels like it's there. The danger still feels like it could be there. The danger might still be there, especially if it's a relational danger. And that may happen in another relationship. And so we never reset our body to safety, and our body gets stuck in a loop of danger. And so, again, we started with some experience of feeling overwhelmed, feeling powerless. There's nothing that I can do to make this stop, to make this go away. There are forces at play here that are larger than me. If we're talking about childhood, the forces that are larger than you can be teachers, can be parents, can be social systems. For my son, it was the foster care system that was part of his trauma, part of him being picked up, never knowing when he was going to pick up, where he was going to go. He was powerless. And then there's the disbelief. I can't believe that this is happening. So if that was how it started, if that was the initial experience, how could we have returned to a sense of safety when our world was shattered? It makes perfect sense that we have gotten stuck in the overwhelm. We've gotten stuck in danger mode. And how has that played out in our life? My guess is that for many, we've continued to have these experiences that feel overwhelming, unbelievable, and now unbearable. Overwhelming, this is too big for me. It's unbelievable. I can't believe this is happening. But now it's also unbearable. Unbearable because it creates such pain and fear and shock that it's too much for me to feel. Unbearable, meaning I don't want to feel it. I don't want to feel it. I want to disconnect. So we've covered why your body may be wired for danger, and it's not always what you think. We've covered the three key elements that get stored in your body: this overwhelm, powerlessness, and disbelief. What's coming up is how early childhood experiences and chronic stress contribute to this wiring. And I discuss the critical line of overwhelm and why we cross it every day. So where does this come from? Where do these experiences come from? Most of them come from our early life. Most of them come from childhood. To some degree, we may or may not remember this, which is fine. We don't need to remember it because our body remembers it. So early childhood experiences where our needs were not consistently met. This could have been anything from outright neglect or abuse, like my son. Or it could have been more subtle experiences of not feeling seen, heard, loved, wanted, supported. But we can have other overwhelming experiences at any point in our life where we feel powerless, unable to protect ourselves, vulnerable, and we don't know how to reset back to safety. And that then develops into chronic stress that never gave our system a chance to reset and recover. And so we're still in danger mode. And then, of course, it starts to turn into illness, physical conditions, sometimes even physical traumas related to that. We can have falls because our muscles are not as coordinated, our spine is not as balanced. We can have other reasons for different physical trauma related to the weakness and imbalance in our structure and in our biology. Maybe like me, you can start to have metabolism problems, adrenal problems, digestive problems, and that is further illness, burden, and trauma. And we can have generational trauma, patterns that we inherited from our parents or even grandparents. So already we have seen how easy it is for us to be in danger mode. How so many people are in danger mode. Now, here's what I want to tell you, though, is that this did not just happen one time in your life. We continue to cross what I call the critical line of overwhelm. The critical line of overwhelm. Every day, we have a certain capacity. Every day, we have a certain capacity. Sometimes that capacity is itsy bitsy because we didn't sleep well, or we're already carrying a lot of trauma, our body's already in danger mode, so our capacity is itsy bitsy. And if my capacity is itsy bitsy, what might that look like? Well, I might fly off the handle more easily. I might be more sensitive, not just to people and what they say or the looks that they give me, but I may be more sensitive to foods, air, chemicals. My body is going to be more sensitive if my capacity is smaller. And so if we have an itsy bitsy capacity, what happens when something hard comes our way, especially if we didn't expect it? We get that phone call. You know that phone call from that person, or maybe it's a text message and you just see who it's from and you're already trying to hide away. I don't even want to look at that text message. Or maybe it's an email. You don't want to open the email. You already feel that pulling away in your body. Already feeling that pulling away in your body. And so this is when we cross the critical line of overwhelm. So the critical line of overwhelm happens when we have a capacity that's down here, but the size of the danger, the size of the demands placed on us are up here. Uh-oh, capacity down here, but this is the demand that I'm being asked to do right now. And what happens when there's that mismatch? The mismatch is where we cross the line into overwhelm. We shut down. And there are two reasons why we shut down and why then our body is getting stuck in danger mode. And here they are. The critical line of overwhelm, it's like hitting a wall of what I'm able to do. And it's when something happens too much too fast. In my book, I talk about Elena. She's actually the first story that I share in my book of one of my patients. She was in a car accident. The car came at her too much too fast. She paralyzed. It was overwhelming. It was feeling overwhelmed, powerless, and unbelievable. She couldn't believe what was happening. This was not supposed to happen. This was supposed to be just an ordinary Sunday drive to get errands done. This was not a day that she was supposed to be in a car accident. But there's also this element of too little for too long. Too little for too long. What does that mean? That means that when we have been trying to operate on too little of what we need for just too long. As an adult, we can look at, do I have enough support? Do I have enough for what I need? Do I even have enough nutrients? Am I digesting and absorbing my food that I have enough nutrients? Do I have enough? Do I have more than enough? Do I have all that I need that I can be in a place of safety? And I will tell you that when we are wired for danger, it actually does not matter how much we have. We will look around and we will say, no, I don't have enough. I don't have all that I need to be safe. But then there are those moments when things happen too much too fast. And sometimes this happens over a short amount of time, like something unexpected that happens and it just comes at me too fast. I don't have time to process it, don't have time to think about it. But there's also the element of happens over a month, 6 months, a year, multiple deaths in a single period of time. And they just happen too much too fast. Many people have come to my courses at a time of grief because there were just too many losses that they had happened too fast for them to be able to process each one as they happened. Before they got through feeling and healing one, the next one happened. And before they got done healing that one, the next one happened. And it accumulates and it just became too much too fast. And I will tell you, but by the time that we are adults, it's both. We are carrying fear and overwhelm from the past. And that has created a state of deficiency. And then things happen too much too fast. Because when my capacity is itsy bitsy, everything is too much too fast. When I'm already feeling like I'm in danger, anything, everything feels too much too fast and too little for too long. When I already feel like I'm in danger, when I already feel like I am in danger, everything feels like I'm having to do more than what I can. I'm operating on too little for too long. And things are happening too much too fast. We've just talked about how the nervous system gets wired for danger through early experiences. I've talked about the critical line of overwhelm, either being too much too fast or too little for too long. And honestly, many times it's the combination of both. Next up, how to recognize your own survival patterns versus your safety patterns. When you do feel overwhelmed, and now you know the aspects of danger and too much too fast or too little for too long, what is your default response? What is your default response? I will share with you what mine used to be. Mine used to be emotional eating. Mine used to be busyness and multitasking. Mine used to be exercise to the point of exhaustion because I'd rather feel the physical pain of my muscles aching than the emotional pain that I was trying to run away from. All of these were forms of numbing, distracting, avoiding, dissociating. And when I notice these patterns, these are how I know my body is wired for danger because it goes to those mechanisms to help me survive rather than being able to utilize tools to return to a sense of safety. I've had my strategies for surviving, and you've had your survival strategies. They may not look the same, but the root is the same, which is why the solution is the same. We need to go to the nervous system. We need to go to the nervous system. And we need to start learning how to create safety. All right, my friend, now you understand how to recognize when you are in survival mode versus safety mode and why your body responds the way it does. Coming up is the first essential step to begin rewiring your nervous system for safety to get out of a constant sense of danger. The first step in creating inner safety is to shift our state. Shift our inner state. And so right now, I want you to be able to look as far away as you can. I don't know if you have a hallway or windows. Find some place where you can look far away. And as you do that, bring a hand over your chest. Feel if it would be helpful to have it actually over your heart area. Then bring one hand over your belly. You can wrap it around your belly like a little hug. You can see what it feels like to put your hand over there. And I will be honest with you that when I was first starting out this work, I did not know how to create my inner safety. And whenever I would pause and get still, like what we're doing now, the anxiety would get worse because I needed to move. I needed to not focus, not feel that anxiety and fear. And so, as we do this, just notice, like, if that is you, this is why we're here. This is just a sign of how much our body is wired for danger. If you are able to create a felt sense of safer, I feel safer, not necessarily 100% safe, just safer. And so as we do this, this is how we shift our state. Don't get me wrong, the supplements are important. All of the biology stuff that I will teach you about is important as well. But the first step is learning tools to work with your body to shift your state. Shift your state. Shift your state from anxiety to safer. Just safer. Because if I can shift my system, my whole state, then everything shifts. My thoughts will shift. My feelings will shift. My biology will shift because it's my whole state. If I'm just changing one aspect of myself, if I have this whole body, but I'm just trying to change my arm is not going to change my body. Instead, what I need to do is I need to change my whole state because my whole state will then spread and change everything. And it is true that when we do this exercise, it will only last sometimes a second, sometimes a minute, sometimes not even that, because our body is so wired for danger, it's going to default back to danger mode. Again, this is just a sign of how much we need this work. So let me share with you this somatic structured sequence that you would want to do. We have to create that safety first, because until our body feels safe, it's going to stay closed down in survival mode. But as we learn to create safety, things start to open up. What does that mean? Ooh, that means anxiety. That means anger. That means energy. That means your body's coming out of being shut down and into this stress and sometimes even fight or flight that it went through before it went to the shutdown. Many people think that we can bypass all that, that we can just go from shutdown to feeling safe. And we can do that in the moment, but as we're looking at the larger scale and picture of how does the body come out of a place of shutdown where it's survived, it will go through these stages. And that is why the second week are all the exercises that I teach on how to create a felt sense of support, because support actually increases our capacity for stress. When you feel that someone is there for you, when someone has your back, when someone's holding your hand, you feel that your sense of capacity is bigger than if you're all alone. If you're all alone, you're going to reach that point of powerlessness faster. And so we need to learn how to create that felt sense of support for ourselves in order to not go back into the shutdown. So that's what week two is. But then what do we do? Because otherwise, if we don't do that last step, we're going to still be staying small to stay safe because we're afraid of anything triggering us. But that's not life. I want you to be able to live fully alive, which means we need to build those skills to expand, go from small to expansion, building our capacity. How do we do that? There is a science to that. And here's what you need to know. If we do that in a way that is not staying safe, our body will go right back into overwhelm and shut down, and it will say, see, I can't even trust you to keep me safe. Maybe you can feel and recognize that your body doesn't really trust you. And this is part of that process of rebuilding the trust. No, I can keep you safe. I can keep us safe enough while we do something new, while we learn a new exercise. I've got skills now. I've got new tools. I can keep us safe enough because I've learned these tools. And that's why you need to know the tools. So these are tools that are, in a sense, you learning how to work with your own body, how to shift your own state. When you notice yourself in overwhelm, your default will no longer be to call your therapist and make an appointment for the following week. You'll be able to do something in the moment. In the moment, you'll be able to do something. And that is what will make the most difference for you, your life, your health, and your relationships, is being able to shift that state in seconds, in minutes, not days, weeks, months, or for some of us, if we've identified, years. We've been stuck in danger mode for years. The longer our body is stuck in danger mode, the more cost we will pay with our health and with relationships and with those trips that we don't take and with those social engagements that we isolate ourselves from. The higher the cost it will be, the longer that we stay in danger mode. And so my goal with this is to help you learn how to shift it quickly. Don't wait. You don't need to wait. You can shift it within seconds if you only know how to work with your body and do that shift. Safety is always right there within your reach. You just need to know how to do it. Now, to answer Laura's question, what you're experiencing, that constant sense of waiting for the next bad thing to happen, it's actually incredibly common, and the science helps us understand why. Here's what's happening biologically. Your nervous system has learned to stay in danger mode to help you be okay. This wiring often happens early in life when we had to fight to survive, fight to be okay, meaning your body learned that staying alert and vigilant was necessary for you to be okay. The beautiful news is that this nervous system is flexible and can change. You can start by learning to recognize your inner states. And when you notice yourself in that danger state, start with a somatic self-practice that can shift your nervous system state from danger to safe enough in the real time. Remember, feeling safe isn't about changing your thoughts. It's actually about creating the felt experience. It will take some time. This is not an overnight fix when your body's been on alert for decades. But your body's not broken. It's actually doing exactly what it was designed to do, which is to keep you alive. But now we just need to teach it that it's safe to feel safe, to relax, and to thrive. And if you'd like to go deeper into creating this felt sense of safety in your body, I've got resources for you in the show notes. First of all is my book on the biology of trauma, how the body experiences and holds fear, pain, and overwhelm, and how to heal it. You can pre-order now. And when you pre-order, I am offering over $400 in bonuses that will only be available during this pre-order time. So order it. I've got the link in the show notes for you to find it on Amazon and then the link to go get your bonuses. The 21-day journey is where I guide you through the process that I created for my patients for them to learn these somatic self-practices, which ones and in which order in order to create that true inner sense of safety in the moment. The results for my patients were incredible. Decreased daily pain, better sleep, better digestion, less anxiety, more energy. So I encourage you to be hopeful about still what is possible and still creating this true felt sense of safety. I have a few related podcast episodes that you will want to watch or listen to if this related for you. Episode 26 was on how to do trauma work safely. Episode 72 was boundaries, attachment, and generational impact. I have got a YouTube video link over to a video on how the body adapts to dysregulation and survival mechanisms. I am here to save you time and money by bringing you practical information that will help you accelerate the healing journey. So please take a moment to subscribe, leave a review, because your feedback is how I know how to improve this podcast, bring you great content, and help others find the information that could change their lives as well. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. Until next episode, lots of love.